Yeah, John and Jeff. And where are they?
They live in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, Wisconsin?
Yep.
Oh, both of them?
Yeah, they bought the farm that Barbara owned together.
Oh. Okay.
But they were, when we got started, they were the littlest kids.
Right, I just remember them running around.
Yeah, they're the littlest kids.
So, could she reach them by phone and see if they might want to tell a memory that they had
or
something?
Well, I could probably suggest it to them, tell them, you know, this is going on, and would they be interested in talking to somebody about, Sunday school at Prairie? All four of my kids, went through the middle school group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know, well, when Dan was in that group, it was when we were meeting at the Y.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember the sequence of, what year that would have been. We were meeting at the Y.
That was from 70 to 71.
And there was this big conflict because, what was her name? Dee? Oh, I'm sorry, it's a Jewish name. That's all I remember. But you've seen this list and you probably know who I'm talking about. Her real name was Dolores, but she was called Dee. And she was the Sunday school teacher for that group, and she was completely unsuited for it because she didn't know how to get along with kids that age.
Uh-huh.
And when they would kid around, she'd get all upset and start screaming at them.
Oh,
So it was just a horrible mess.
Oh.
That I'm sure Dan would remember that. And that's when she gave up and had a nervous breakdown or something, Joe and Barbara took over that class together.
Oh, uh-huh.
And unfortunately, that was when things were going on and people didn't know things were going on. And when they found out things were going on, they said, you guys can't teach Sunday school under these conditions.
Uh-huh.
So I don't particularly want that in the archives,
no.
But, that's that's part of Prairie history, too.
What would be the best way? Would, I can give you Rosemary Dorney's phone number.
Well, let me just check with John and Jeff and see if they're interested, and I could get back to you or something.
Okay, just email me and see.
Yeah,
and tell me.
I suspect Jeff would probably talk. John got married a couple years ago, and his life is so different now because he's so concentrating on, being a husband, pleasing his wife, and I don't see him as much. He's
okay.
But I see Jeff a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know how much they remember.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you've got a list of questions?
Well, this is let's see. This is a part of the 50th anniversary, project, and so we're trying to get all voices and here and collecting information from Prairie people about their experiences. And so, I wanted to find out here, it has the information about the interviewee, which would be you.
Yeah.
And so your address would be this?
Yeah.
It's 5490.
Cadiz Bend. This is also formal.
And let's see, 201.
Yeah. And it's officially Fitchburg here.
Okay. Where is that Fitchburg line here? Is that?
I'm sure you crossed it. The speed limit changes on Fish Hatchery Road.
Is that
Road.
Right? Uh-huh. Gosh, okay. And then your phone?
We area code 334.
Uh-huh.
272? Yeah, 9013.
And I have your email address here. And then it asks for your birth date.
Oh, my God. July 27th, 1935.
Okay. 27, 35. Okay. And where were you born?
Upstate New York.
New York? What?
Upstate New York in the country. We're all upstate New York.
Okay.
Interesting that you want that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why, but... Did you design this program, or...?
Actually, Mary Mullen made this out.
Oh, okay.
And then you can think about this, whether you'd want to give permission to use quotes or information from it for the Book of History, whether you'd like that or not, or whether to put the entire transcript or written pieces in the book, or to include part or all of it on a DVD that would be sold as part of a Prairie fundraiser, or to include in the Prairie archives as an audio recording. That might be kind
Let
of
me
nice.
Decide at the end of it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's
sure.
going to go on here.
Sure, that's fine. Okay. So, do you want to check on whether that audio is working okay?
The red light is solid, then it's,
uh-huh,
it's,
we haven't started,
it's working.
It's red
lighting.
Right?
Right? Okay.
It's on now.
Okay. Well, today is October 11th. 2015, and I'm Ruth Calden, and I'm interviewing Terry Prudlow, and I'm going to be asking some questions about her involvement in Prairie, and this interview is taking place at her home in Fitchburg.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
I was expecting it might be more free flow, that I might be able to.
Yes, it is going to be that. I'm particularly, you know, interested in the early days of Prairie because there's so few people around who've experienced that,
it's almost
and so
nobody.
On. So why don't you tell us about your experience?
Yeah. Why don't I just tell you about it? And
sure.
if there are questions you have after I talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and I'll try to include everything. I don't know the exact date. I don't know the exact year. Because it was like almost 50 years ago, or about 50 years ago, and I was a young mother with four active little boys and going to school and writing books and doing all sorts of other things at the time. So, you know, I never wrote down, you know, we did this
yeah.
at a certain
mm-hmm.
time. But I came to First Society when Billy was a baby. I had, Joe and I had decided that we wanted church for the kids. And so Bill was born in 59, and so I started church shopping, and we had been Methodists, went to a couple of Methodist churches and said, no, we can't do that. And then we heard about Unitarian, and so we settled in and went to First Society. And we were there, the twins were dedicated at First Society. It was when Hoagland was there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had known Hoagland from Schenectady when I was working at GE. I had
My
known
goodness.
Hoagland. So he dedicated John and Jeff. And, you know, they were in Sunday school there. At some point, and I don't know when it was, we knew some people and we got talking about some things that we were not that happy with. And I always say, Betty Jollings was the ringleader of the discontented. She simply was.
Mm-hmm.
She had a strong personality, and she had a lot to say. And there were basically two issues that the group of people were unhappy about with First Society.
Uh-huh.
And it had nothing to do with being crowded. That had
uh-huh.
nothing to
right.
do with it at
uh-huh.
all. And the first was that we were dissatisfied with all the money that we were asked to give, and it seemed to be all going into that building. A lot of people said those people have an edifice complex.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you were constantly being bombarded, give more, because we're going to do more for the Frank Lloyd Wright building. It's so important. And some of us felt there's a lot better way to use money. You know, we just didn't like
mm-hmm.
that.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the characteristics of the early people in the Society that became Prairie was, we didn't want a church building.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the standard thing among all of us. We don't want a church building. If we ever have a church building, it would be shared with some organization that did some good sociological purpose,
mm-hmm.
or we would rent from some worthy organization, but we don't want to spend all our money on a building like they did. That was one strong point. And the other one was, that Max Gabler would not take a stand against the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And there was pressure in the group, you know that because you were there then, for Max to take a stand and come out against it. And he wouldn't do that. No, we got to wait and see, was the way he behaved. And so those, I think, were the two reasons that this particular group of people decided, well, we'll just meet together. We're not First Society anymore. We're going to make our own group. And unfortunately, I don't remember how long we met. I don't remember exactly when we met or where we met, you know, over what period of time. But we were making our own group.
Do you remember if this was the same year that the Holy Name
I'm going to sort of get to that, Ruth, so okay. Hold off, okay? We had been meeting for some time. I know we had made some attempt at some rules and regulations, but not much. And at some point, and I can't say when, somebody said, hey, we're going to be able to meet at Holy Name. And most of us, at least, I didn't know how that had been organized. You told me on the phone. I didn't know that First Society had decided to make a group, and that was their first effort at it. We were already a group. Mm-hmm. And when we met at Holy Name, there was suddenly all these new people from First Society, and they seemed to all think they were in charge. Mm-hmm. And there was all this organization to do. And those of us who were already there were sort of going, huh? You know, what's going on here? Why are you guys here? What do you want? So there are two stories here. You know, the story you were telling me on the phone this morning is a totally different story. That's the beginning of Prairie. Now, from my point of view, there's an earlier beginning of Prairie. And it was, I don't know, I think Max must have known about us. Mm-hmm. And yet there was all this elaborate organization that we've got to do this thing, we've got to organize this thing. You mentioned Lloyd Bitzer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know Lloyd Bitzer. I'd never met him before. And one of the things that happened with me is there were all these committees being organized. Okay. And I volunteered for the bylaws committee. And we were going to have a joint meeting where we, you know, adopted all sorts of things. And I waited and waited and waited. And there was no committee meeting called. And I think it was a few days before the meeting, I got a call from Lloyd Bitzer. And he said, basically, I've got the bylaws all written. Do you want to see them? Which was not exactly what I thought we were going to do. I thought there was going to be a committee, and we were all going to contribute, and we were going to write the bylaws. Now, you told me on the phone, Lloyd Bitzer was the gung-ho first committee chairman of everything from First Society. He was doing his job. So fine with him, but he didn't know anything about the group that already existed. And when I finally saw these bylaws at this meeting, and the situation was, I don't know why, we were sitting on the floor at this meeting, and Lloyd and I were out there sitting across from each other, and he had the bylaws, and he was smoking his pipe and blowing smoke all over, including in my face, and he proceeded to read these things, including the society will be called the Second Unitarian Society of Medicine. And I said, just a minute, you know, that's not what we're going to do here. And there were other things. It was all about how we were going to build a building, how we were going to hire a minister, all this stuff. And no, that's not what we had in mind. And frankly, I fought him line by line. And I don't know if all these bylaws copies have been kept, but if they have, there's one that's been edited very, very thoroughly because the group did not approve the bylaws that he wrote. They were changed drastically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as this goes on, you know, as they see you doing this, and you're going to do a book, you're going to do all this, and I think, am I going to just be tagged as some kind of agitator that doesn't believe the real history? It's why I'm disturbed about this now. And it's why I'm reluctant to talk. A couple years ago, I was asked to talk. I talked to the Sunday school. I talked to the church. And I was happy to do it. I was happy to tell them, you know, what it was like and what we were doing and what we stood for. Mm-hmm. But this seems to have gotten so elaborate that I don't know how you're going to write this up except to say that First Society was doing all this, and what? That there were these people that spoke up and changed things? I mean, what? It's like we didn't... I think the people who came to First Society did not know about us, perhaps, and they thought it was day one of a new group, and it wasn't.
And how many people did you say were in the group?
I'm sorry, I can't tell you. I don't know. It's too long ago. One of the things is we had cards. We filled out membership cards. And I have asked many times, what happened to our membership cards? Now, I finally saw Mary Mullen sent out a record of who had signed the membership book. And Lloyd Bitzer's name is number one on that membership book. So I wonder if maybe he didn't buy the membership book and start it. But somebody must have thrown away our cards because they were never found. Uh-huh. Now, I went ahead and signed the membership book. Uh-huh. I don't know at what point I did. But Joe said, wait a minute, I signed a card. I don't need to sign this. Uh-huh. And sometime later, I think it was maybe when he was going to marry Barbara, somebody said, well, you can't get married to her because you're not a member. He said, what do you mean I'm not a member? You know, somebody did something, probably just bought a membership book and threw the cards away. I don't know. So our little group I think we are the true founders. And I think Betty Jollings is the mother of Prairie.
And Jack was involved too.
Jack was involved, but you know. You know the difference between them if you knew the couple. Right. Betty was right out there. And, you know, that was where it started.
Was Ori Laux involved?
I don't recall that he was. I don't know for sure. Like, I asked myself when Ruth called, I said, were Ruth and George in the original group? And I told myself, well, I don't think so. I think they came over with the UU people, with the First Society people. But I knew they were very early. And all those people that came over then were very early. But it wasn't day one when you met at Holy Name.
So Lloyd Bitzer was not in that group that you're speaking
Absolutely
of?
Absolutely not. Yeah, I didn't know who he was. Okay. Now, I found out afterward he's this professor of rhetoric. You know, he knew how to write bylaws, but he didn't know the people and what they wanted. And like this thing about building a church, somebody at First Society decided they should buy us some land. And you know what happened? We gave away the land. We didn't build a church. I think the spirit of the original group did prevail. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't know why that was. It seems to me that the people from First, there were a few people from First Society, like Lloyd Bitzer and Charlie Davidson, that came in dedicated to organize this unknown, non-existent group. But most of the other people just blended in, and it seems to me that the spirit of the original people was more prevalent. That because we didn't build a church, we didn't hire a minister, you know. That was the other thing. We didn't want to hire a minister. We said, no, we'll minister to each other. And we did present programs for each other. And when they finally, when they hired that minister, Joe and I left. We left for quite a while because we didn't want a minister.
You mean Dave Myers?
Yeah.
Dave Myers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that young man who wrote poetry. And,
right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We didn't, we came back when it came back to being
lay.
We're being lay led.
And then there were people...
There were people who went the other way, yeah.
who went the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any memories of events or services at Holy Name or...
Well, I know I conducted a few. I know I did one. Oh, I did... I think it was the first one I did there, and... Oh, God. I wish I could... wish I'd kept notes, because it was a fun thing. There was a man who did... audiovisual things. You might even remember that service. And I had a script and he flashed all these pictures.
I see.
And it was just tremendous fun. We had a great deal of fun with that.
Well, afterwards we might find it because George kept a list of all the people, all the names of the services there of the early days.
Yeah.
So we could, you know, possibly
I know I
it.
Did at least that one. I may have done others. Because, you know, I was in a very creative mode in my life. I was writing kids' books then. I don't know, have I, I've kind of spoken my piece, at least to some degree. I think that, you know, I think there was some feeling of conflict because there was this misunderstanding that there were already people there. I know I would get annoyed, I'd get annoyed at Charlie Davidson because he was in there running it. God, Charlie, sit down, shut up. The one conflict I can say for sure, and this was, it was remedied fine, was I lost my nephew in Vietnam. He died in the Tet Offensive. And that was when we were meeting at Holy Name. And I was very upset. And I wanted to do something, you know, I wanted to have some sort of statement. And so the Sunday morning, I brought a handful of Eugene McCarthy flyers, and I put them up in front. Mm-hmm. And Charlie came in. You can't have these here. They're political.
Oh.
Well, I came up and went nose to nose with him and said, I just lost my nephew in Vietnam, and that's all I can think of. They're staying.
Uh-huh.
And he put them back.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're...
Were Roland and Amos Parrish in the group that came over from First Society?
I think so.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Roland Parrish was the president of the First Society at that year, and he came over and became the president of Prairie for the first year.
And he was, you know, they were great members. There's no question about that. And I think Roland is a good example of somebody who was probably, you know, considered in both groups because he was one of the people who was of the branch, and yet he was certainly became one of us, you know.
You know, I think we have a home video, you know, of taken at the Prairie site, and you're in it.
Yeah.
And it's it has no audio at all, but you can see the people. Do you remember those times when we went on the
Well, that's all
site?
We ever did with that land. We flew kites once a year on that land,
uh-huh.
and we called it our prairie, but, you know, we had no intention of making a building.
Mm-hmm. It's now Elver Park.
Yeah, we gave it away, didn't we?
Sold it
to the city. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, you know, this whole business, I guess that I'm trying to show the difference of, I think that there was a that the First Society of Max Gabler said, okay, we need a branch because we're overcrowded, so we're organizing this branch. But I think he was completely aware that there were already people out there who were a group. And whether we were absorbed with them or there were, I don't know. Uh-huh. We certainly all combined.
Yeah.
And there were only a few people that were sort of strident about, we're going to organize this rat, you know, we're going to be called the Second Unitarian Society. One suggestion was, why don't we pipe in Max's sermons? That went over like a lead balloon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I came across something sort of interesting here that I took notes on in the archives. It talked about the first six programs that the First Society was going to be responsible for them. And
oh, nice
it was actually based on tapes from the UUA, and then they had a different person kind of listening to it and then handling the discussion afterwards.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously, from their point of view, this was something brand new, and they had to figure out what kind of programs to make and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably to like, I suppose Lloyd Bitzer thought I was a terrible person because I was just butting in on his professional action.
Yeah. So,
and who was I? Some dumb little housewife, you know.
Well, would you want to say anything about your involvement in Prairie, you know, through the years?
Well, we were, you know, we were away while there was the minister. And when we came back, I was program chair for a while when we were over at Port of Foster. And, of course, Joe got really involved with the fiddling. He had this... He had, you know, been a classical violinist, and I don't know how he got, I guess it was probably he and Dan Willard really hit it off, and Dan was into this bluegrass thing, and Joe got into fiddling. He'd never done that before. And of course, you know, because George was
right,
in Chicken Pluckers.
Prairie Chicken Pluckers.
And that was such a big thing for him. You know, he really, he didn't participate that much in the spiritual, intellectual, you know, kind of stuff, but he really enjoyed fiddling. And he had not been playing his violin for some years because he'd switched from music to geophysics. And, you know, and he got back really to the violin through doing the country fiddling kind of thing. And so it was a big thing for him. And, you know, we had a good time with it. We were all good friends. The Willards were our best friends. And, of course, you know what happened, but don't put that in there. And I was active in program planning. I know I did some programs. I wrote some skits. I didn't do too much with the Sunday school. I don't think I ever actually taught the Sunday school. I think I participated sometimes and helped. But more than that, I was more into like program planning and things like that. And I did the newsletter for some period. It wasn't very long. But I did do the newsletter. And I guess, you know, I always could speak up at meetings well.
Do any particular people stand out for you? You remember?
It was such a good place, and everyone was, you know, everyone was special. And I think even, you know, I felt some antagonism for a while against, for example, Charlie Davidson. But Charlie and Hermine worked into the group, and, you know, that was just, you accept that's who Charlie is. You know, it's okay. He was a little too directive for my taste, but, you know. I remember having some good laughs with him, his punning. Charlie always had a pun, and it was always dreadful. But it was fun. And we were very close to Roland and Avis. Roland was dying, and I was having some emotional problems because of what was happening in my marriage, and Roland was comforting me.
He was
a wonderful man.
He was, I remember he pretended to be St. Francis of Assisi and wore this big, long skirt. And he led the kids to the zoo.
He was wonderful. And Avis was wonderful in a very different way. They were so strangely unmatched, and yet they were, you know, such a good couple. And we loved them dearly. Yeah. I often think that Roland is one of the most wonderful people I've ever known.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Well, is there anything else, or Bob, is there anything else you can think of
I wondered if you could think of any other names of the original group.
I wish I could. But the trouble is, Bob, that I get it mixed up in my mind because the people who came over from First Society did become valid members of the group, and we all blended together. And I remember there was a man named George Filer, and I think he was one of the early ones. And he was a single man, and I don't know what happened with him.
But was he in the group with Betty Jallings, you mean?
I think he was one of
George
our originals,
Fellers.
Yeah. And when you mentioned this Friday night group, I thought, no, wait a minute. Maybe that was the kernel of the group that we all came from. I don't remember going on a Friday night. But, you know, honestly, this was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
And the absolute details weren't that important to me. You know, I think I came along because I felt strongly that putting all your money into a building was wrong, and I felt very strongly about the Vietnam War, especially after John died. And I wanted to be, if we were going to have a leader, I wanted that leader to stand up for the things that mattered. And I didn't want to waste, you know, if I was going to give money to a church, I wanted it to do some good.
Yeah.
And the Frank Lloyd Wright building is beautiful, yes, but it just seemed to pour all that money into that. And they were just, as you know, you went to that, they were constantly asking for more and more money because we have to we have to steady up this thing that's falling down and wearing out.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your taking the time, especially when you're not feeling well, Terry.
I just don't feel well all the time. Yeah, it's this is condition of my body now.
So maybe we should.
Now, can we offer you some cheesecake? Because we don't want to eat it all by ourselves. You want some, don't you, Bob?
Sure.
Let's do the cheesecake. And I do have decaf. And I, you know, I have told other things, like the members of the women's group I've talked with, and Mary said she made some notes. Mm-hmm. I know I mentioned this thing about the bylaws, you know, and when I told them, they all went, oh, like, they're shocked. You know, how can anybody act like that? That you're, oh, I've written them. Do you want to read them? You know, just the arrogance of it. I don't know when we picked the name Prairie. One of the things was that, for instance, the Bond of Union. I don't know. Do you remember? Was the Bond of Union already written by the time you guys came?
No.
Because I remember the Bond of Union, it took session after session after session.
It was a long process.
Just about everybody was involved. Uh-huh. There were drafts written and they were edited. Mm-hmm. And it just went on and on and on to get that right. I remember a session held in my living room. It's somewhere in the middle of that where we were fighting out the Bond of Union. And Lois Hagstrom made that wonderful drawing of the prairie flower.
The prairie smoke. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that was, we sort of attached it to that Bond of Union.
Uh-huh. Was Lois in the group that came from First Society?
You know, I've thought about that and wondered if the Hagstroms were part of our first group. And again, I don't know. I know they were early. And I was quite friendly with Lois because we had her daughter Susan and the twins are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to take the twins to play with Susan when they lived in University Heights. And, you know, she was kind of a strange person, but if you got to know her, she was really a lovely person.
Yeah, and very talented.
Yeah, extremely talented. But of course, she had the terrible trouble with her eyes.